Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, November the 21st, the day before Thanksgiving, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, for his weekly spot as we talk all things Miami Dolphins and preview this upcoming week's game against the Indianapolis Colts. But before we get to that, we got to talk about the big news that broke on Tuesday afternoon, that quarterback Ryan Tannehill will be back and play this Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts, and he will be back under center. And look, overall, there's no doubt about it, he gives the Miami Dolphins the best chance to win any games. And I've seen a lot of fans on social media, and I've been contacted by a lot of fans via email, and I was on a radio show late Tuesday night talking about this. I think Dolphins fans need to pump the brakes a little here. Yes, having Tannehill back is exciting. Yes, having Tannehill back does give the team the best chance to win, but there's a lot of buts. And let's start to list them. Number one, the last 8 quarters Ryan Tannehill played, 4 against New England, 4 against Cincinnati, he was very bad. And that wasn't medical, that wasn't related to his any injuries at all. He was just bad on his own, okay? He was very bad. That's number one. Number two, since he's last played, his group of wide receivers is pretty much gone. Since he last played against Cincinnati, now when he walks on the field this Sunday, no Albert Wilson, no Jakeem Grant, and from reports it sounds like no Devontae Parker. He is going to go out there and play with Kenny Stills, who may not even be 100% still. He's going to go out there and play with Amendola, Bryce Butler, and Leonte Carew. Bryce Butler, Leonte Carew, and a less than 100% Kenny Stills. So, you know, you can only work with what you got. Oh, and by the way, running back Kenyon Drake, his status is a little bit iffy too. With a shoulder injury he suffered against Green Bay. So Ryan Tannehill is going to be out there with a bunch of weapons who are essentially backups minus Amendola right now. You look at the offensive line. Yes, when he went down, the interior of the line wasn't good. Travis Swanson really hasn't gotten any better. Ted Larson might not play. Not that he's anything special, but, you know, now you're going to the third string left guard. And Jesse Davis has been bad this year. So, you know, Ryan Tannehill, when he walked off the field against Cincinnati, you know, it wasn't an outstanding unit around him, but it was a lot better than what he'll be walking out with on this upcoming Sunday. The other thing to remember is Ryan Tannehill, sure, he brings a spark to the offense. Maybe he could bring some life to the offense. Maybe he'll even score a touchdown or two, which I think they will this week. But he also doesn't fix any of the problems on defense. So yes, it's exciting to have Ryan Tannehill back. And I don't mean to be the wet blanket here or the Debbie Downer type saying, oh, why are you being so negative about this? He's back. Can't we just be excited? Yes, you can be excited. We should be excited because he does give the Dolphins the best chance to win. But we also have to be realistic about this. He can only do so much. And the weapons he has to play with on offense right now are not very good. They're not very good. Leonte Carew and Bryce Butler are, you know, they're going to be on the field when you go to 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. Okay? I mean, that's just the reality of it. And then 10 offensive lines, nothing special. And Tannehill can't fix any of the issues on defense. This front 7 can't stop the run, and they can't get to the quarterback. So, yes, having Tannehill back helps. But, I mean, does it improve their chances to win the game this Sunday? I guess marginally. Since this news broke, the point spread moved 1 point. They were 10-point underdogs, now they're 9-point underdogs. So it's not really moving the needle that much. Nobody's thinking Miami is now, you know, on the verge here of pulling an upset. Indianapolis is pretty much a double-digit favorite at home this week, as they should be, because the Colts are red hot. Hot as a pistol. And they're putting up a lot of points. And I think that's where this game will be won or lost. Can the Miami Dolphins defense slow down this high-powered Colts offense? Because right now, very few teams have been able to do it, if any, right now. Especially the past 6-7 weeks of late. And then on the other side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill, you know, he's probably, for them to even have a chance to win, that offense with guys like Leonte Carew, Bryce Butler, the tight ends who really haven't made a play all year, they're going to have to score close to 30 points, if not more than that, to win this game. I don't think it's possible, but we'll see. And it's nice to see Tannehill back under center, because if this ends up being his final year in Miami, which if you ask me today, November 21st, I think it is. I mean, nothing's official. That's just my opinion. I think it will be. He deserves to go down swinging. He missed all last year, obviously. Missed 5 games this year. If this is the end of his time in Miami, right now, moving forward, he's got 6 more opportunities to change that. If he gets hot and he can lead this team to the playoffs, then by all means, you know, he's here next year and probably longer than that, as he should be, because he would have earned it. But if these final 6 games don't go well, then, you know, it probably is the end of the line for him in Miami, as it should be there too. But let's see. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's got, and he should go down swinging here. But again, there's no more excuses here, okay? I know the shoulder's not 100%, but he's been in Miami since 2012. And if you're healthy enough to start and you're healthy enough to play, if you have a bad game, don't cry about your shoulder. And I don't want to hear fans cry. I know he won't, so that's not so much aimed at him. I don't want to hear anything from head coach Adam Gase go, ha, well, we lost because, you know, our guy's only 65% healthy. Well, then if he is, then you shouldn't have played him. So no excuses from the head coach if he has a bad game. No excuses from the fans. No excuses. I don't want to hear any excuses from the Tannehill support group who never lays any fault with him and we're just in love with him. Everything he does is just roses and rainbows. No excuses. He's starting, he's playing. So if he has a bad game, that's on him. I know he's got people around him hurt. So be it. He's not the only quarterback in the world who has people around him that are hurt. So there's no excuses here. And it gives, like I said, Tannehill 6 more games to prove himself, because he's playing for his life in Miami, I think, here, these final 6 games. The schedule, it's not impossible. I know the team here has a ton of injuries, so every game is tough. And there's no game you look at and go, that's a win. But you got 2 games against the Bills, who are not very good. You got this game against the Colts. That's a tough game. Jacksonville is a mess right now. So, look, if they can even get to 9 wins, even if they miss the playoffs, if they got to 9 wins and miss the playoffs, that's a heck of a year. I mean, it really is with all the injuries. And then he really would make it a tough decision for Miami on whether should he stay or go at the end of the year. Should they hold on to him or let him walk? But as I said, he's got 6 more games now to prove himself. And if he gets hurt in any of these games, if he goes out there Sunday, plays a half, and then he can't go anymore because he gets hit and he gets hurt, or his arm just is shot at some point and it dies in the middle of the game, you know, that counts. I'm sorry, folks, that counts. That's not an excuse. So he's got 6 opportunities. I'm rooting for him. As fans of the Miami Dolphins, even you fans out there who despise this guy and just despise Ryan Tannehill and hate everything about him, you got to give him credit. He's got heart. He's going to play through. He's not 100%. He's going to go out there Sunday, give it his best shot. And, you know, this is it for him. This really is it. Do or die here this Sunday, because this is a playoff game. They're 5-5. They're in this log jam for the final spot in the AFC for the final playoff spot. You know, the first 5 spots are pretty much locked in. Not officially, but, you know, you don't see anybody there really moving. You got the Chargers are sort of entrenched as the first wild card team. I don't see them losing that. So it does come down to this logjam of the Ravens, Cincinnati, Miami, Indianapolis, sort of fighting for that final spot. And Miami's got just as good a chance as anybody. I know they have a lot of injuries. Some of these other teams, you know, just really aren't that good, though. So we'll see. But we'll see Sunday afternoon how this goes. Sunday at 4:25. Remember, the game got moved to late afternoon. It's a 4:25 game, Miami versus the Colts. So what I'm going to do right now is take a quick break. And after the break, I will be joined by Antoine Staley from USA Today, as we'll get his thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill situation, as well as talk about a various wide variety of topics concerning the Miami Dolphins and just the NFL in general even. So sit tight, and then we'll be back after this.
Hey, everyone. Mike here from the Fins Up, Fins Down podcast, also found here on the Dolphins Talk Network. If you haven't listened to our show yet, allow me to tell you why you should check us out. Fins Up, Fins Down is a podcast I record with my co-host Noah Urbanski. Each week, we'll rewatch the latest Dolphins game live on air. Or, you know, in the offseason, we'll just watch games of the past. Either way, we'll have a little bit of pregame talk. You know, we might be homers, we might be pessimists. Just depends on our mood that week. Then we'll jump into the game where we give you guys some commentary live on air. You know, after the game, we'll give you guys a little recap, jump into a couple of fun segments. And, yeah, I mean, that's basically the show. It's a whole lot of fun to do, although I will admit we go pretty long with the podcast. Either way, hope you'll check us out, and if you do like the show, give us a follow on Twitter, at FinsFansPod. That's with a PHPH on the FinsFans, because we're, you know, complicated like that. And finally, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps out the show, and we'd really appreciate it. Fins up, guys, and back to the show.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am doing great. So I guess the big news we have to start off with is Ryan Tannehill is back, and he will start this Sunday when Miami plays the Colts. What are your thoughts on this just overall?
We'll see how he does. Adam Gase thought he prepared well enough, rehabbing enough, especially during the bye week to get the start. So I know out there in practice he was throwing 10, 20, 30-yard passes. Seemed like his old self. How he reacts to the pain. I know he said he still has a little bit of pain with when he throws. So we'll see how he manages the rest of the week. But I know he didn't have the exact same zip on there. But they feel like he's ready to go. And even maybe a 70 or 80% Ryan Tannehill is better than a close to 100% Brock Osweiler. But we'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll find out on Sunday. And I know a lot of fans are really excited about this, as they should be, because he does give Miami the best chance to win, obviously. Osweiler, he started off okay the first one or two games, but he sort of regressed since then. The one thing, though, I think a lot of people have to keep in mind is since Ryan Tannehill was last on the field, this is not the same offense. The offensive line not looking the same, and the wide receivers group is really changed since he was last on the field. I guess let's start there at wide receiver. Devontae Parker, what's his status? Does it look like he'll play Sunday? Because I saw some quotes today that it'll probably come down to a game time decision, but it didn't sound promising.
You never know with Devontae Parker, so I can't really give you one way or the other on that. So all I can tell you is he had a red contact jersey on today, and he had that shoulder injury, the AC sprain. So yeah, my guess is it will come down to a game time decision, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'm done trying to predict if Devontae Parker is going to play or not. So
yeah,
I really can't. To be honest with you, I can't really give you an answer one way or the other there.
They have yet to put Jakeem Grant on IR. When they do, you think they're going to call up someone like Isaiah Ford, or will they call up someone at another spot possibly?
Well, I guess they'll wait. They'll probably wait and see what happens to Devontae Parker the rest of the week and make a decision there. But. Yeah, I imagine, if Devontae Parker is going to be out, they know they'll probably call out Isaiah Ford or maybe Malcolm Lewis from the practice squad. But outside, if Devontae Parker can play, they might decide to put another – get some defensive line help or something of that nature. So I think that's probably the reason why they're waiting, just to see what Devontae Parker does later on this week. And also, if Mike McCain possibly plays, because he's still in the concussion protocol.
Yep, absolutely there. And, yeah, because this wide receiver group right now is pretty thin. You're looking at Stills, Amendola, Leonte, Carew, and Bryce Butler. Not exactly a unit that will put a lot of fear in opponents. So Parker playing would be a big help there. On the offensive line, Ted Larson, what's his status? And is he all set to go, or are we going to see Jake Brendel, you think?
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. We don't necessarily know. One way or the other, there yet either. I know Adam Gase say he liked what he saw from Jake Brendel like 2 weeks ago against the Packers. I know Larson had that neck injury, so we'll see how he progresses the rest of the week. But as right now, they could go one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's the thing here with Ryan. He's back, but the surrounding pieces around him right now really are not that good. And I think once again, he'll give Miami a spark. He gives them the best chance to win, but really he doesn't have much help around him. So, yes, I am sort of excited to see him play, but you also got to keep expectations in check. And I guess the other part of the expectations being in check is he can't really stop anybody either on defense. And that side of the ball, since he's left, is just sort of falling off the face of the earth. So the on that side of the ball, Minka Fitzpatrick, will they continue to play him on the outside, you think, or will they keep sliding him around?
Well, I think they're going to continue to slide him around there. I think he can play both safety and also the cornerback position. I think you'll probably see him mostly at cornerback, especially if Mike McCain happens to don't play. If he doesn't play against the Colts, he'll mostly patrol at the cornerback position. But yeah, I think you'll see him also at safety at times, maybe spelling Rashad Jones or TJ McDonald from time to time there as well.
I hope Rashad is aware of that, and I hope he's okay with that this time if he is going to spell him there at safety, so we don't have another incident like we saw against the Jets there. I hope there's more communication there. Also on that side of the ball, it seems like just overall there's been a lot of injuries, obviously, and they're facing a team that's red hot right now on offense. What do you think Miami could possibly do to slow down the Colts? Because I think that's where this game is going to be won or lost for Miami on that side of the ball. How do they slow down Luck? What do you think their best plan of attack is?
Well, they got to get to him, first of all. Nobody's been able to get to Andrew Luck throughout this win streak, and that's really been a big difference. I know Quentin Nelson is playing out of his mind, was the rookie of the month last month. I mean, everybody had a problem with taking the guard. Some people had a problem taking the guard that early in the draft, but he's been everything that advertised coming into the draft and then some. But yeah, he's really helped that offensive line. The Colts have got better in that area. And of course, Andrew Luck is looking like his old self. So that's the best way to get, that's the way they're going to have to beat him, try to get pressure on him. If they can't, which the Dolphins from time to time have not been able to get pressure on the quarterbacks this year, it's going to be a long day for the secondary. To be honest with you, because Andrew Luck is just playing out of his world and playing at a Pro Bowl level right now.
He really is. And if not for Mahomes with the Chiefs, Luck probably would be the talk of the NFL right now, because I'm sitting here right now with his numbers in front of me. Since September 30th, he has thrown, since September 30th in each game, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, and last week, 3 touchdowns. He has thrown 3 or 4 touchdowns in every game since September 30th. Again, if not for Patrick Mahomes, he would be the talk of the league. He probably would be in the MVP talk, but I think he's just being overshadowed by Mahomes right now. But Luck is back. He is his old self and looking as good as ever.
Yeah, he is, and I think the Colts could definitely – I mean, they're in the midst of that playoff race as well, yep, along with the Dolphins and three other teams. But this game is critical for the Dolphins. You still have the Patriots and the Vikings left on the schedule. No game is given against – not even against Jacksonville. And I know the Bills are – a lot of people are looking at it as an easy win, but divisional games are always tricky, and we saw what they did to the Jets a couple of weeks ago. So – you never know. You never know in this league. So you have to be able to win as many games as you can and try to stack them up at the end. But yeah, I think they definitely have to. They lose this game, I think it's going to be. I have a hard time believing they'll get
to the playoff game this week. This is a playoff game because they already don't have the head to head with Cincinnati, which that's not good. And if they don't have a head to head here with Indianapolis, that's not going to help either. This is a playoff game. If they lose this game and fall to 5-6. To get to 10 wins means you got to run the table, which ain't going to happen. And even to get to 9 means you can only have one more slip up. And when you've got New England and you have a solid Minnesota team, it's just not feasible with all the.
And then you lose the tiebreakers too, so yeah, it really hurts.
Well, they have to win this game. It's inside the AFC. It's a team you might end up tied with at the end. This is a this is a playoff game this week. If they lose here, they can pack it in because they're, I mean, it's just not going to happen. I don't think it will happen anyways, honestly, but if they even want an outside chance, they must win this week. It's not even up for debate.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. That's why it's critical. And then also, if the Titans were to win, you no longer have the tiebreaker over them. So, yeah, so you fall at that 5-6 mark. And like you said, at least essentially you're going to have to run the table. And I don't see that happening whatsoever. And then even to finish 9-7, you're going to lose a lot of those tiebreakers. So, yeah, that's why this game is just so critical for both teams, especially the Dolphins.
Yep. Now, Drake today in practice, he was in a red non-contact jersey. Was there any reason why? Because I don't remember him being.
Remember, he hurt his shoulder.
Right. He did. That game seems like eons ago. I got to be honest with you, Antoine. That game seems so long ago. But yes,
yeah. He hurt his shoulder. There was a lot of injuries during that game, so he kind of remember. But yeah, he had his shoulder. He did return to the game, but really didn't get the load that he. Well, he hasn't been getting the load anyway. Yeah. But they didn't really give him a big load after that because of the shoulder injury. So. We'll have to manage him. They definitely going to need him there, too, as well. Without him, you can't run Frank Gore to the ground, so you're definitely going to need some semblance of Kenyon Drake.
Absolutely. That sort of leads to my next question. When the Miami Dolphins have the ball this week, yes, the quarterback is back, but they need to do something to spark this offense. And I know they're down a lot of weapons like Grant, Wilson, and everybody. What do you think they should do? To sort of spark this offense, because they can't keep trying to say it's not all Osweiler's fault. Yes, he leaves some plays on the field. I get it, but it's not all his fault. The offense has just sort of been stale of late, and it hasn't been really creative. And it just seems like they're just nothing's happening. So, what should they do, in your opinion?
I thought they ran when they ran the ball against the Packers. They did really well, and then Adam Gase for some reason. Like he has in the past, just went away from it and tried to get cute. And then that's when he gets into trouble. I think I know Tannehill's back. I know he's a starting quarterback, but just continue to run the ball, especially if you can have Kenyon Drake out there. You need to rely on that more because you don't have Albert Wilson anymore. You don't have Kenyon Drake. You can't, those explosive plays that you were getting at the beginning of the year, I mean, they really don't no longer exist. So you really have to kind of shorten your playbook. There, Kenny Stills is there, but he hasn't really done a whole lot, and he's been bothered by a groin injury. So you don't know necessarily what he can give you as well. So, yeah, they're going to have to, I think, just old-school attack, just run the ball, maybe do some play action, maybe line Kenyon Drake out there, wide receiver at times, get the ball in his hands as many times as possible. I think he's your most – especially with Noah Wilson and Noah Grant, he's your most special player out there on offense. If you don't use him, then – I definitely don't see any chance of them winning this. I don't think they're going to win anyway.
I don't think they're going to win anyways either.
I think without him, without getting the ball in his hands, I think it's pretty, close to zero. You're going to win that game.
Yeah, I think the offense this week will score a touchdown, which is a positive, and they might even score two. I think they're going to score this week. I just don't see how in the hell they're going to stop Luck in the Colts offense. That offense is just on fire. I think that's where this game will be. Won or lost for Miami, most likely lost. I just don't see them slowing down that offense because they don't have the people right now to sort of stop that type of offense. And Luck, unless Luck is just having one of those off days, which he hasn't had in a long time, that's pretty much the only way I see Miami coming out on top here.
Yeah, the Dolphins have only scored over 30 points one time this year. And in order for them to beat the Colts, they may have to do that again. And I just can't.
I can't. Not with all the guys that are out.
No. Yeah, I don't think that's any way possible. And then now you have to worry about Luck. You have to worry about the tight end, Sujet Doyle, and also Eric Ebron.
Ebron's having a great year.
And we know, and as you know, if you watch the Dolphins throughout the year,
can't cover tight end.
You know their weakness is covering tight ends. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys had big days against those linebackers.
Absolutely. I think the Colts are going to have a big offensive day. And I think Miami will do okay on offense. It just probably won't be enough to slow down a team like this right now. Final thing here, sort of not about the Dolphins, just looking around the league, after that great game we saw on Monday night between the Rams and the Chiefs, and that was a great game. I mean, that game had it all. You look around the league right now, look at the standings. Pretty much, in my eyes, and tell me if I'm wrong, there's probably only four teams right now that can win the Super Bowl, and I think everyone else is just sort of wasting their time. It would be the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, and New England. Do you see anyone else, not one of those four teams, sort of making a run towards a Super Bowl? Because you got Pittsburgh is 7-2-1, but they really have not looked good. You got Houston who has won seven in a row, but I can't see them in the playoffs beating the Chiefs or Patriots. I just don't see any other teams aside from those four making a serious run to the playoffs.
I will say the Steelers, for this fact, their offense is great. I think before the game against Jacksonville, I thought they were rolling. For whatever reason, Jacksonville just kind of had
Jacksonville's got their number. Yep.
But they were able to squeak that win out. That's all that matters. You win, you advance, you move on. And that's what they did. It was an ugly win, but nevertheless, it was a win. And
they might be the fifth.
You don't have to worry about seeing Jacksonville in the playoffs because they're not going to make it unless some miracle happens.
I think
Pittsburgh can really make a run. I wouldn't be surprised if they would come out the AFC. My worry about the Chiefs is also Mahomes, and he's very young, and yeah.
You got Reed as your head coach, who always comes up short.
Andy Reed, and also the defense. I think the defense, more importantly, they give up a lot of yards, they give up a lot of points, and I wouldn't be surprised if a team like Pittsburgh, like New England, were to go into Arrowhead and to beat them. So I can see Pittsburgh
Might be the fifth, yeah. Outside of that, though, there's really not much. I don't see the Packers or the Bears or Vikings. I kind of like the Vikings, but they really haven't clicked yet. Philadelphia, I was holding on to some hope, but they've had two bad losses in a row, and they still have to play the Rams, so that's not looking good for them. I just don't see anybody else, really. It's pretty much those four. You throw in Pittsburgh, maybe it's a five, and that's it. I mean, it's five teams right now that has a realistic shot of probably winning the Super Bowl, and you just hope nobody gets hurt on those teams, because I think if those five teams are there at the end, it's going to be an amazing playoffs. We're going to see some great games. If we see Saints and Rams in the NFC Championship game, that will be an amazing game. And if you get Pittsburgh again and the Chiefs maybe, the Chiefs and the Patriots again, that might be an amazing game. So I think we're in store for a great playoffs, but I think everyone else, I don't see much hope.
Yeah, I'll say that the NFC playoffs, I think, will be really good.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great.
You could definitely – that'd be the one – playoff, they play side of the bracket that I think a 6 seed could potentially be the 3 seed, especially if Seattle were to somehow squeak in. You never can count out Russell Wilson and that squad as well. The AFC, it depends on who gets into that 6 seed. If it's the Colts, you never know. Look out, the
Colts could be a live 6. The Colts could be a live 6 seed. The Ravens, I don't trust. Cincinnati, I don't trust. The Chargers were looking good up until last week. How they lost that game, I have no clue. I have no clue.
Yeah, they'll still get in, but yeah. That was a terrible loss.
That was a bad. That's a bad loss. Yeah. So if Indianapolis, if they sneak in as a 6 seed, that's a live 6 seed. Just because luck by himself can win a game. The NFC East, who the heck knows? Washington's up by a game, but they don't have a quarterback anymore. I guess you got to watch out for the Cowboys because they're kind of getting hot right now. I think the Chicago Bears might be another sneaky team because they have the team on defense that could sort of rattle a team for one day. But can they score enough points? That would be the team.
That's the problem.
That would be the problem there. But they would be the team to watch on that side because they do have the defense to maybe slow down a team if they're having an off day like the Rams or Saints and maybe just give them a scare. Even if they don't win, just give them a scare.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Antoine, thanks so much. You have a great Thanksgiving holiday. Everyone can read the work of Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow him on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Antoine, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day. Thank you.
All right, we're back. And once again, I would like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining me on the podcast for his weekly spot. Everyone, be sure to check him out on Twitter at Antoine Staley and at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. Let's get to the picks this week. And last week, I got creamed. I went into the week tied with Landon and Jeff, and I got creamed. Hit an 0 for 3, my first 0 for 3 this year. Landon and Jeff went 2-1. They have a two-game lead on me, so now I got to do some work here to catch them, because for the first time all year, I am trailing. So let's get to this week's picks. I'm not picking any of the games on Thursday. I just don't like them. Chicago, unsure what's going on there with their quarterback. I kind of like the Cowboys, but that's too big a number. And Saints Atlanta, they usually play it tight, not touching that game. So here are my picks. Pick number one, I'm jumping all the way to Monday night. Give me the Houston Texans -6 at home against Tennessee. Houston has won 7 in a row. They're at home, and the Titans, with their quarterback situations a little bit up in the air, even if Mariota plays, they're not a big-time offense. I think Houston in prime time at home, they're going to win their 8th in a row. The Houston Texans, I think, they're going to win the South, so I want them -6 against Tennessee for pick number one. Pick number two, and I hate picking them, but you got to do it. New England, -9.5 at the Jets. The Jets are a mess. Right before the bye week they had, they got blown out of home against the Buffalo Bills, and that was with Matt Barkley, a quarterback. I think Tom Brady and the Patriots tap dance all over the Jets, and they blow them out big time here. 9.5 is a lot to lay on the road, but I have no faith in the Jets offense putting up any points. So give me the Patriots -9.5 against the New York Jets. Game number three. I'm tempted to pick the Colts, but I don't want to root against Miami. I just don't want to root against them this week. So, but not that I ever would, but for this contest in regards to that, I just don't want to see that happen. So I'm just going to not touch the game, although I probably would most weeks. Pick number three, give me Tampa Bay at home -3.5 against San Francisco. You got a West Coast team traveling east playing at 1 o'clock. It's never a good sign. Tampa Bay, you know, stinks, but they score a lot of points. And I don't think San Francisco will be able to keep up with them. So give me Tampa Bay at home. I got to lay the hook, whatever. So Tampa Bay at home -3.5. My three picks this week, once again, are Houston -6, New England -9.5, and Tampa Bay -3. We'll, to see who Landon and Jeff select, tune in to the Landon and Jeff show, which will be up most likely on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday night. We'll get that up for you. So that's all for today's show. Now, the plan is to have a Thanksgiving morning show. That's right. Thanksgiving, we're not taking it off. I have a special guest lined up who I know you're all going to want to hear from. And I'm supposed to record with him late Wednesday night. As long as that goes through, knock on wood, if that goes through, I will have a Thursday morning show. If something happens and we have to reschedule that, then we won't. But the plan is to have a big Thursday morning show with a special guest you are all going to want to hear from, trust me. So that's the plan. Thursday morning, as you're getting ready for your big Thanksgiving meal, hopefully you have the day off from work, sleeping in with the family, having a little breakfast in the morning. I will have a podcast for you with a special guest that I think you will really enjoy. So be on the lookout for that. And if something does happen and it falls through, I won't. that is the plan. As always, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk, and check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up and a lot of good content up on the website. So everyone have a great Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.